This is episode 164 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. Is it really winning if the prize is sleeping on the couch? Manzano.
Yeah, that W was worth it. Totally worth it.
Nice. Will Gold Squadron in Hagwood?
That's got to be the new slogan, right?
It's been requested. It must be universal. And Ryan, I fly ships off the board for charity. Screw your points. Stan Hazuski.
The echo escape forever remembered in history.
Hey, it was for charity. That's what we do. All right, everybody. So first, as you guys know, we always jump into our announcements. We do have a few that are important, so make sure you guys listen. Don't skip ahead yet. So just a couple of things. First, Space Jam prizes. Most people are starting to get them, okay, which is great. That means people are mail is coming. Mail is moving. First, I want to ask for your patience. I would say that everything should probably be to you in the next 2 weeks. Things were shipped as early as like June 1st all the way to like things still the last couple weeks. So if you haven't gotten it yet, be patient. Now, if you get something wrong, let me know ASAP. I'm compiling a list because there has been some people who got some things wrong. Yeah. So we'll work on it. Just shoot me the emails. All right. We'll get you taken care of. Promise. Second, some people have been asking, Dion, what about the Twitch partnership? The channel's been doing so good. We've been having more than 75 people watching every night. Like, things, like, you got this, right? Like, it's happening. Not quite yet. We're still waiting. We'll go ahead and I'll flip over to this. This is now for the last, like, 2 months. Our application has been in review. So, we'll see when that changes. Just want to give you guys a heads up that we're hoping and we're waiting, and we'll see if and when it happens. Yep. You know what I really want? The reason I want it. I want it so that we can get you guys more emotes. Yeah. Cross all the things. All right. And tell your fam to watch Gold Squadron Podcast. 75 more people is what we need every single time. So they can't deny us. Second point of announcements. Again, reminder, July 29th, 7 p.m. is the in-flight report. So if you want to know what's happening in X-Wing coming up, supposedly they're going to be announcing a new wave or something about X-Wing. Should be then. At some point in July, we're supposed to get the new points update. We'll see if the developers finish their homework. We'll find out. Now, most important announcement, guys. Check this out. If you were not aware, last weekend we had the campaign against cancer, and it was an absolute smash success. Via our donation link, we raised over $23,000, and that is that there's $7,000 more coming in that Chad was talking about from different events and other promises. So in total, we raised over $30,000 in the fight against cancer. I will tell you, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The expectations, we didn't know where we was going to be because we were, right, we're not meeting in person right now for everybody's safety. So the reality is that Chad wasn't sure. He put up a $50,000 goal like for the rim shot, but in his heart, he wasn't even hoping for what we had. Like, he didn't even think we'd get there. And look at that. We got over $30,000. That's seven plus this. As part of our commitment to the campaign against cancer, and because we haven't been traveling, we committed over $2,000 of Gold Squadron money, and that's from you got your patrons, your Twitch subs. We put that in for the campaign against cancer because this is something that I truly, strongly believe in, and I want to make sure that those dollars you guys are giving to us, I want you guys to know that they are getting put to good use. Now, the exclamation point donate link is actually going to be active for six more days. Okay? The campaign is still going on. Every penny counts. And what I want to do is every person, okay, any person who donates with our link, the exclamation point donate from our chat, from now until 6 days, I actually found a way to export the emails of the people as they submit. It's something small, but I'm going to send you guys a $10 off coupon to our store for any t-shirt you want. All right, $10 off t-shirt. It's something small, a way for us to say thank you. It doesn't put a huge burden on me for having to ship out a bunch of stuff, but it's something for me to say thank you. Anybody from now continuing on, an additional donation, you get $10 off. I'll send you a coupon to the email that you enter when you do that. So again, thank you guys so much. If you're listening, you're not watching live, the link will be in the description for the YouTube and the podcast. If you're watching on or listening on any platform, you should see that. That is literally the only link that's going to be there. I'm not putting anything else in there. It's just the Campaign Against Cancer donation link. And again, it's only until the 26th. On the 27th, that link reverts back to the individual donation to Gold Squadron and away from the Campaign Against Cancer. So make sure if you're planning on that, we need it before the 26th or on the 26th. All right, no later than that. Cool. And then last but not least, Patreon. That stuff is the next thing on the docket for us to get in the mail since we just finished Space Jam. So my hope is to have everything in my shipper's hands by this weekend and everything ready for that. They'll get it packed up. Boom, we'll get it out. Yeah. Patreon stuff should be on the way soon. But now, it's party time, people. It is party time. It is time for us to get to our main topic. And the main topic of the day is the Rebels. The Rebel Alliance. We've been ranking all of our factions, and we're going to continue with that. I don't know why my camera's all the way over there. Oh, I got to shift over. Let me see. Maybe I'm going to cheat a little bit. There we go. I'll just put myself in the corner. the Rebel Alliance. We've been ranking the ships, the chassis itself, not the individual pilot, but all the pilots combined for all the factions. Next week we're gonna do Empire. We've done everybody else. Today's Rebels. Next week's Empire, and then after that we should have our new points. Right? We'll see. We've been able to fill a month of content with this stuff, and I've actually had a lot of fun having the discussions. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Remember, feel free to argue with us in the chat, comments, you know, send me a smoke signal if you disagree, whatever, man. But we are going to get started. I've split the faction between the four of us. We're going to rotate, and then we're going to have a group discussion after on one of the pilots. But let's get started. Let's go. We're starting with the Z95. William, take it away.
So, Z95, one of the cheapest ships for the Rebels, has 4 health, 2 attack dice, missile slot, and I think just modification as well. So, the generics only gets you the EBT, and Blount is, I think, really good. But Kraken's so-so. I'm going to put them at B tier, because I don't think they're C tier still. They don't have as many support tricks. I think that they are better in Scum. They have things like Drea, Torkoal, four small type players, mm-hmm. right? Whereas Rebels really only give like one token here, except for maybe Leia. Leia could K turn a bunch of Z's, which I guess is something. Which I guess we saw it early. I faced that. I faced a bunch of Z's in Leia one time. But outside of that, they're not great in mass. They're great as a filler. So they do provide a role. We've seen Kalen Wong was flying Z95s in Rebels to great success. So I have seen them competitively, but I'm going to put them solid B.
All right. Next, we go to, unless we have any, remember, guys, if you have a something you want to argue with, just jump in. Just jump in. Otherwise, I'm going to keep the train moving. Will's like, move, move, go, 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 go.
No argument, but did you mention how good Blount is?
I mean, I kind of skipped over him, but Blount is good. He gets an extra attack dice. Enough said. 30 points. Initiative 4 as well, which matches up with a lot of good Rebel combo pieces. Dutch, Garvin, Jake, things like that. So, I think Blount and Kraken kind of even themselves out. You know what I mean? Like one all-star and one so-so named pilot.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't for Blount, I might argue to C, but B seems good.
Blount holds up the chassis. Excellent. All right, next, Ryan, the YT-2400.
This one is going to go into C tier.
Oh.
I don't want to, like, dump it into, like, D tier. I almost consider that. But I think there's other ships coming on later in this faction that are going to be resignated to the basement boiler room. But this one's not it. Four dice gun is a four dice gun. It has issues staying on the board long enough to make up its points. That's always been an issue for these large base ships and Rebels. Once we go over the other ones, we'll see that. Unfortunately, big bases get caught easy. Or easier now. This one doesn't have access to boost, only barrel roll. Dash does crazy things, but is also worth a lot of points. I think besides putting force users on Dash, people should definitely look at the K2SO crew. I think that as a crew is very underutilized in the Rebel Alliance as a whole. But there's no other pilots we've seen used. Lebo... Should Lebo get crew back? Man, I don't know. The whole issue is C-3PO crew just gets stapled right on there, and you go, all right, what happens now? I don't know. But for now, C.
All right. Now, remember, everybody out there, I have put up the polls. Oh, sorry, I forgot to do that for the Z95. And, yeah. So that's our results from the community. I don't see too much argument. I'm going to agree. Will, Marcel, you guys good? I agree with that statement.
Yeah, it can be good, but it's not normally, no.
It can be, or, yeah, no. By the way, people at home, you can vote with either the numbers or the actual letters. Those also do work in the chat. This is a single letter and submit. All right, next one, Marcel, the VCX-100, a.k.a. the Ghost.
The Ghost. So this, I'm actually going to go against what Ryan just said, and I'm probably going to get outvoted here, but I don't care. I actually see the VCX as a nay for me.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I misheard you.
As a nay, I've taken the Lothal plenty of times with good success. I've used Hera with Advanced Sensor, Zeb, and Saw Gerrera, which actually comes in not as expensive as you would think it comes in. The Lothal is at 67, and Hera, with her ability being as good as it is, it's only 72. There's only 5 points difference between the Initiative 2 and the Initiative 5 with abilities. Also, the new ship, Alexander Kallus, gets to roll an additional die. A die, or an additional die if you're going through a rock or range 3, if you modify your dice, which most of the time you are. So you combine that with a reinforce, stays alive very, very long. The fact that they could get a turret, so they could have multiple arcs, they have 5K turns, real good way to turn around. And above anything else, they have the event, the slot, you know, the system slot to put advanced sensors on them. A lot of these other ships, large base ships for the Rebels, they just bump and they don't get any action, but with the advanced sensors, they do. Yeah, so actually, more than anything else, it's been Hera for me. Hera and Alexander just still two ships causing havoc, and I've done pretty well. Dion has tasted the wrath of the double VCX, in double intimidation, advanced sensor VCX, and they can hurt. So I'm going to throw them here. The only ship that I think is actually a bad ship from the VCX is Canon and this just because he's way too expensive at 80.
Heck yeah, Canon. So, okay.
Yeah, he's just expensive. But all the other ones are actually cheap for what they do. And getting 5 dice from an intimidated double-modded ship at range 0 is... Eesh.
So I'm going to agree and disagree with you. I do agree that that situation is the truth. But I think relative to some of the other ships we have coming up, I think I personally would relegate it to B, but I have to hear from the rest of the council.
I agree with Dion. I think it's a B-tier ship. There's just I really like Hera in this ship. Like, Saw Gerrera is stapled on these ships, but you only have one Saw Gerrera. Very rarely ever going to take more than one of these anyway, but you want it to hit hard. You want it to hit a high initiative with Hera's ability is really strong to get where she needs to go. Not as strong as it used to be because they adjusted the 9-nub interaction, so that's not possible anymore. It has seen some success, but Kallus might have another option at the cheaper price range, even though at I-4 might stay around a little bit longer. But man, when you have one of your pilots being a 2-force carrier that has never been taken, something's wrong. and it's the points probably, but I think the overall chassis we're looking at a B.
Which Will gets the deciding vote here. Is it staying at A or is it dropping down to B?
I think they're A tier, actually.
All right.
There's been a lot of discussion.
That's my man right there. I know I love you, Will.
You know what we haven't been talking about?
What haven't we been talking about?
Four dice primary. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
This thing's shooting guns out the front. It's got, man, and just the sheer versatility, honestly. What ship are you docking? What's your crew? What's their crew? Like, what's your turret? Are you trying to double shoot? Like, gunner slots, turrets, other ships? So it has a variety of options. The only thing I would... say, you guys are complaining about Kanan. Chopper's actually the worst one. Chopper is 1 point less than Kallus right now. Nobody uses Chopper. It's not a good ability. It gives you jams. But you should already be blocking these people anyway, so I'm not really sure. I guess you can strip off like Darth Vader's lock, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I think they're good. They shoot a big gun. You can't kill them right away. I think they're always going to be worth their points. So I guess that leaves it to the chat.
We're tied. I would say that it's staying in the A tier just because between us, we were half and half. I mean, if we go to the chat, they're tied as well. You know, it's too close to call. We're going to leave it at the A tier. Mm-hmm. Now, I did see somebody in the chat ask, are we going to, are we just looking at the ships compared to the other Rebel ships or compared to the entire game? I think we can honestly look at it either way, because something I think would be extra interesting is that once we have everything in their tiers, we then compare all the S tier, all the A tier, all the B. Then we break it down even further, and then we would be able to have a better comparison. We have to start by faction because it's just the most natural way to do that. All right. So let's go on to our next ship. The next ship that we have here is the U-Wing. Probably the most famous of the U-Wings is Cassian Andor. When I look at the chassis, it has a lot going for it. Its best role, its absolute best role, is being a Leia carrier in like Rebel Salad squads. But independently, I don't find it's more of a utility knife rather than being a powerful weapon. I'm going to place it personally in the A tier because it does have the utility. It has the coordinate. I think that if that coordinate was white on the chassis, I'd probably bump it up to S, but because you either have to pay for the points to get Tactical Officer to make it white, or pay for with a stress, which does limit some of the effectiveness of the lower initiative ones. I think we're going to be at A tier. Cassian by himself, Cassian is S tier. The rest of them, we have a couple that I say would be B according to the points. I think it averages out to about an A. Any arguments there? I didn't think that was going to be a controversial one. All right. Cool. Next, we move on. William, let's talk about the A-Wing.
Ooh, this one's going to be tough. And you mentioned it as well, because it's about comparing it not just to Rebels, but to other factions' ships, like the Resistance RZ-2. I personally think the boost linked action, the affordableness, you get the talent slot on every pilot, and both Jake and Arvel are popular, well played, and very effective for what they do. I think this is a solid A tier for the A wing.
Nice. Look at that. Okay. Yeah, Jake. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I was waffling. I think similar thought process as Dion. I mean, without you saying anything, it's just like I'm like,
you can feel it, right?
But Jake is so good.
Yes,
like even though the generics see literally zero play, which was one of the reasons why I thought it should be B tier, but Jake by himself is S tier, and Arvel has shown good success in those like 5-6 ship like lists that just get put together in Rebels, and like Arvel intimidation helps punch through that extra damage when ships do not have access to crack shot. So it's like you mentioned also for the U-Wing, there's that one pile that really jumps it above, a lot of good stuff in the middle, some stuff doesn't get played. A is the right spot, I think.
All right. And most of the chat agrees at a 40. Is that 40%? Yeah. 40% of the vote right now. Or 48%, excuse me. All right. Next. Well, Ryan, since you're on the screen, it's perfect timing. Let's talk about the X-Wing, the iconic ship, the one that our game is named after. Where am I putting this X-Wing at?
The X-Wing, for me, is going in A tier. Luke, obviously really good. Wedge has some success. We have Garvin showing some good synergies. We see the base blue X-Wing being used in 5X. Jack Porkins has some value for sure. Hasn't seen a lot of play, but I don't think that's because he's bad. I think it's because maybe there's some other options or builds that just come together better. Not specifically in the X-Wing chassis, but across Rebels in both hyperspace building and extended building. Thane, do what you want, man. I'm not a fan of Thane. There's better options out there. Biggs is relatively quiet, which is surprising. Mark my words, there'll come a time where he's an issue again.
Always.
It was close for S tier, but I think when you're comparing it to everything else also in the game, not just in the Rebel faction, it's not up there with RZ-2s, with Jedi Aether Sprites, with Boba. It's just not there.
I agree. Council? We move on. All right, Marcel. Let's talk a little bit about the Sheathipede, one of your favorite ships.
It is one of my favorite ships. When you first said we were doing Rebels today, I think I said that the Rebels is the faction with the most A's but the least S. And I would love to put the Sheeta Pete. I would put AP5 as an S myself if we were just naming ship by itself. But the rest of the people that want to jump in and steal the Sheeta Pete for a joyride just don't quite live up to their points, unfortunately. So you got Fenrau. Fenrau's got some utility, but 50 points is really just not that good. It's nice to have an Initiative 6 coordinator, but still, just something's missing from that. Ezra, too expensive. Zeb, you know, Zeb actually could be decent. I think in, like, we talked about Kaelin Wong. Like, Kaelin Wong, when he won the System Open, the Canadian System Open, he flew it with a bunch of other ships. That was okay. So I would almost want to put it in A because Zeb and AP5 are good. Fenrau has some utility. But really, I think I have to drop it down to a B just because the other ones, even though they have utility, they're somewhat utility, and AP5 is really the only one that's going to give you your real money's worth.
Yep. I agree. Next one. We move on to the Rebel TIE Fighter. Everybody's favorite looking TIE Fighter. At least I think. I think it's the coolest looking one. But utility in the game?
A scum TIE Fighter. Come on.
You're right. Utility in the game, let's be honest. I think Sabine has the coolest ability. Captain Rex literally has an ability that technically doesn't work because his card is spelled wrong. I think this Rebel TIE Fighter is in the trash can. In the trash can, sitting at the lowest of the C tier for me. I can't put it anywhere else other than that. Any thoughts there?
When you need to fill points, throw a Z95 in there. You don't need a TIE Fighter.
Great point there. Sorry, guys. One second. My program here crashed, so need a second. I'll get that up in a minute. But our next pilot that we're going to do here is the Hawk. Okay, the Hawk. Will. We had some words in our GSP chat earlier. I think we're about to have a fight. This is fight flight club. Let's go, Hawk 290, sir. All right, the ball is up for the people.
You have a leg to stand on because the Hawk is in S tier. Okay, let me just talk to you about Moldy Crow.
let me show you this used car here, my boy.
Yeah, I'm going back to Moldy Crow and its ridiculous action bar, focus and lock to rotate, boost and jam. You can hold on to focus tokens. You have multiple arcs. You can carry bombs. The pilot abilities, Geonorms, being able to give a dice for stress, no problem. Rourke, let's... Somebody who most likely could die this round, shoot at initiative 7, initiative kill on anybody. We've always seen great success with Geonorms. Anybody who can double modify their attack dice is a great candidate for a Geonorms, for just getting more dice. Rourke, we saw the hilarious build. Oh, remember the good times. When Rourke could coordinate dash Rendar, and then he would shoot twice. Isn't that how that went?
Yeah.
I don't remember it now.
There was coordinate shenanigans. There was your initiative, you know, 7 now. You get to shoot 2 times because the Han Gunner. Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't work anymore.
I literally had to take down a YouTube video because they changed the interaction.
Yeah, remember when a Hawk could coordinate, shoot its own dice, and get somebody to shoot twice at 7? Rourke. Kyle, easy token passing. The scouts are okay. Their best role is probably just like a Sabine carrier. You bring like a seismic and Sabine crew. Maybe like another bomber, like a K-wing or like a Y-wing or something. You throw them in. I mean, there are still a cheap crew carrier, and if you don't like the front to back of the sheathipede, you can take the turret to the side. So they do have some value there, but I think the higher initiative ones are just better for list building and things. So go ahead, just put it up in the A, or sorry, not the A, put it up in the S. Go on,
Marcel. You have the best shift.
Okay, I can't be the only one that's.
Oh no, I'm just letting you go first. Okay, I'm standing sure, in the line be the behind only one you.
Yeah, definitely not an S tier. And I'll give because of the pilot ability of Janors and Rourke. I'll give you the Calcatarn, not so much. All of them are, I don't know. Because, okay, look at it this way. So, and somebody called it out in the chat earlier. You have a ship that has 5 health and 2 agility. I don't care if you can stack 3 focuses. I mean, I really don't. You know who else can stack 3 focuses and they have, or stack 3, actually, yes, stack 3 focuses and has an extra health? Obi-Wan. He costs like 6 or 7 points more with Delta 7. So for 6 or 7 point difference, you can give yourself focuses by spending a force. You can give other people focuses when they spend it. You get double reposition, and you get a regenerating. You don't even have to take an action to get the focus back, the force result. This is just not that, you know. Again, we're comparing them not just to its.
Yeah, but
itself.
Does Obi-Wan have a turret? Does he have a 4 dice gun out the front?
He don't need a turret. He's moving, double repositioning, and still ends up. He doesn't even need tokens for that. He's got his force. And when he boosts, he doesn't need engine upgrade or anything like that. He stays stressed. And you can take that 2 die side turret. I mean, yeah, it's helpful, but it's just not. It doesn't match up with everything else that's out there that, you know, we talked about earlier. Does it match up with the Jedi? Yes, no. Does it match up with Boba Fett? No. Does it match up with what else did we throw over there?
Your favorite RZ2s.
Yeah, with the RZ2s? No. It's good. A, I'll give you A. But it's an expensive A, but yeah.
Not S. I don't know. My heart says B because of the current cost. Just the current cost for me. Like, when I'm looking for a support ship, I'm reaching for the U-Wing or the A-Wing to provide extra actions, a.k.a. Jake, before I am reaching for a Hawk at the moment. Now, if Moldy Crow was cheaper, I will tell you, if Moldy Crow was cheaper, I would probably go for it because you do have to consider Moldy Crow with this. I think it's a B tier. Ryan.
I am in the camp of S. No, I'm kidding. A tier. I'm in the camp of A tier. I do think, Dion, that there is still value, especially with Janors. As you know, I experimented with trying Janors in that Rebel squad at Crossroads. Giving Braylon 4 attack dice or 5 at range 1 is ridiculously scary. And Jan herself with the Moldy Crow title, like, if you have those focuses going in, Jan can just take locks and provide another double modded attack. So there's another source of double modded attack, I've always been a fan of flexible additional dice. I've liked like the 7th Fleet Gunner card in Republic, for example. Janors is another example of that. But Jan obviously can't hold up the entire ship chassis. But I do think Kyle Katarn does have some good value too. There's a lot of focus passing in Rebels across the board. So it's just another way you can do it and fit into your list. So whether it's Garvin, on both Arc 170 and X-Wing if it's Kyle Katarn. While the 3 hull, 2 shields, and only 2 agility doesn't feel great for shooting on the board, or for staying alive, is pretty easy access to double mods if you can grab that lock, or its action bar is pretty great with that boost and jam, albeit red. If you want to make that boost white, it's only 2 additional points. You have access to bomb for some utility, and if you put other ships on the board that make it tough to choose what target you want to go after, these things will stay on the board longer than you would think just because of target priority saturation.
All right. You swayed me to A, Ryan. You swayed me to A, and that's 3 of us at A. Looks like the chat is split between A and B. There is a little bit of favor in the S, and there's some people who want it in the D tier, but I think as a community, we've decided collectively A. So Will doesn't drop as far as it could have. Ends up going to A, though. Alrighty. Next one here, Ryan, the K-Wing. You had a little experience with K-Wings this weekend.
Of course I did. I might be not making many K-Wing friends with this ranking. It's not C. I'm putting K-Wing in B. The generic wardens have shown the squad of 4 wardens is actually pretty solid and can be really scary with the use of Sabine crew, which, as we know, has been a terror in the past in both editions, actually. Success across the pond in Europe with 4 K-Wings and a little bit, I believe, at the first Adepticon for second edition. And then on top of that, it's not Miranda that I value as much, because it's a lot of points put into a ship that's ability just isn't as good as it used to be with the weaponry she has available to her. But I've actually seen some interesting builds using Asegi Tuketu combined with Garvin and Shara Bay, who can generate a pretty nasty 4 dice attack because she can spend her lock to add a focus. So I've seen some interesting squad compositions in that Rebel synergy everyone always looks towards in that I-4. Asegi, I think, is I-3, so it's the only outlier in that. So there's some interesting synergies you can pull off with Asegi, but it's mainly within the Wardens.
I opened up the poll a little bit late there. You put on a good argument. I'll give you B. I'll give you B. Marcel, thoughts?
I think somebody in the chat has been hitting the Jack Daniels a little bit, because I see somebody trying to put it in an S. B is fine. I think B, it's definitely not C, because barrage rockets on these things, it's actually pretty good. It gives them essentially 3 arcs.
Yep, and then if you get a bomb in the bomb, it becomes essentially 4, right? You got to throw it out the back. Will, any additional thoughts there? I mean, I don't know if there's a really strong argument that can make it pull in either of the directions.
No, it's not terrible. Like it's got crew, it's got synergies left and right. No, it can perform.
All right. Now we move on to our next ship, and that is the YT-1300, a.k.a. the Millennium Falcon chassis. Marcel, this one's on your shoulders. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the toughest ones for me to nail down as far as what. When I'm looking at Han and Lando, I'm thinking, okay, it's definitely an A. Han, when it had access obviously to more than it does now, was an S, but the way it is now, it's they're A's. Chewbacca's really not all that good. Leia's good, but 79 points for Leia, I don't quite see it. And then the generic at 67 points, really, it's just not that good. If you just want to compare, if you want to have would I choose a 14 health, I mean a 14 hull VCX or a 13 hull YT-1300, you would want to say like, oh yeah, definitely you want the YT-1300. It gets an agility, it gets double arcs, it does all this, but it isn't quite as scary as the VCX. I mean, the VCX is similar to like the Upsilon's. It's a do not fly zone. It's like you don't come in here. And I think that's what the YT-1300 is missing. It also doesn't have quite the same upgrades that the VCX. So I think when you're just comparing it one for one, a couple of the pilots definitely can go up there as Lando and Han. But I think the rest of them probably drag it down to a B for me. And again, this is like so borderline for me. I can go A minus or B plus. But since it's three B's versus two A's, so it goes down more towards a B.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in and argue with you a little bit. I think the Falcon is S tier. And what you're
sorry, I just choked.
I think the Falcon is S tier, and here's the reason why. Specifically, let's talk about Han, okay? Han, I think, has the potential to be S tier plus. While it does have 13 health versus 14, it doesn't have a 4-dice gun. The survivability of Han Solo alone over time compared to a VCX is absolutely ridiculous. It requires so many less points to put on it to get consistent damage. Like, Han is consistently one of the most underestimated pilots when I see people play against it. Consistently. You can trick a VCX. You can get it in a bad spot. Han is almost always getting rerolls. If you have R2-D2 crew on there, you got regen. I mean, like, it can be just oppressive in nature. Has the potential to be there. Lando, I think, is S tier as well, just because of that super flexible coordinate like ability, being able to give it to himself as well. Like, hey, look at me, I got double mods all the time, or my buddy over here has double mods all the time, and still works with Nia Numb, by the way, as opposed to the VCX, which has lost that ability with Hera. I will agree that the other ones are a little bit lackluster. Leia's all right. I would say that she's probably A tier. But I think Lando and Han alone, you got two of those that are... I think Han is S plus. Lando S. The rest of them probably A. And then the generics are in the B. But I think overall ends up at S. Ryan?
So let me ask you this. Oh. Before you jump off, let me ask you this.
All right.
Since you've been doing all the main tournaments now.
Yeah.
When have you seen a YT-1300... make a cut in any of your tournaments?
I cannot.
Why? Because they're not S. That's why.
Okay.
Handbrake Hound back in Adepticon.
Doesn't work anymore. I mean, that's it.
I know, but that means I'm agreeing with you, though. I think it had an S tier, had an outrageous, unstoppable ability, but now it's just an A. It is an amazing platform. We can't deny that, but it's seen its better days.
I'm trying, Rebels. I'm trying to get you guys an S tier. I don't know.
Dion, honestly, it was close for me too. Yeah. This was the one chassis that I thought had the chance to be S tier. The problem is when you start comparing it to, like, can you really put it in the group with RZ2s, Jedi Aether Sprites, Boba, you know, everything else that we've ranked S tier so far? I don't think I can, but I'm surprised on a pilot state how low you guys are ranking Leia. Technically, Leia and Lando both start at the same points, but Lando realistically costs 5 more points because of 9 nub. In a vacuum, if you're just looking at the pilots themselves, I think Leia's better than Lando. Lando provides more for your squad if you're trying to do synergies and coordinating, but Leia is so much more unpredictable because she can utilize stuff on the dial that's not required to be blue, and Force is always really good. So just without having to put any points into Leia, like, that's a really good value itself. Han, as Dion talked about, R2-D2 crew, had a local of mine put Kane and Jarrus on him as well, so even if he has to deal with going through debris, they'll just do a white maneuver the next turn too, so his dial's also really open. And I think that's what makes Han and Leia potentially have a higher ceiling than Lando, because of their unpredictability of their maneuvers and where people need to fly them. It's too common that even when I play Lando and when I go against Landos, they're more predictable and easier to catch.
All right.
But A tier.
All right. So I think we're keeping them at A. And it's an interesting trend so far for the Rebellion. We have not had any S tier. Now, is Dion just trolling us because he's trying to make a point at the end? Maybe. Does he really believe everything he's saying? Maybe. Let's continue. The E-Wing, everybody's favorite ship. Everybody's favorite ship, the ship that everybody wants to be good. Wants to be good. This is one that there have been situational events where there's been moments where the E-Wing comes so close, right? One of the really common ones you'll see, by the way, sorry, I'll go ahead and refresh the poll. Give me a sec. I see people voting. Hold on. I got to refresh it. Sorry. I wish there was a single button for me to do it, but it's not. People want it to be good. One of the variations that you see, probably the most common, is double rogue squadron escorts with proton torpedoes with R3 astromech. Plus something. And I think I remember Marcel a few months ago saying something like, take those two plus something else and you're guaranteed to go 4-2 or better. Something along those lines. You're guaranteed a winning record. And I would say 4-2 sounds reasonable for E-Wings in that configuration, but one of their biggest problems is that they have to make these sweeping passes in order to be effective. Your time on the individual target isn't great. There's no way I can put an E-Wing anywhere near any ships that we have put in the A tier. I do think it's better currently for the points than the 2400 and the TIE Fighter, and for that reason, I'm going to put it in the B tier. Corran Horn, we haven't seen performance from Corran. The bullseye relegation is tough, and plus just the way the action bar sets out, like, you really wish you could have a reposition and a focus because you already end up going in with the target lock. But plus the dial is not great if you're trying to put on R3 astromech to have the flexibility. Well, then you go with R2 astromech in order to have better motion, but now you're limited on your flexibility for shooting. So for that reason, B tier. And looks like there's quite a few people voting at A tier. Thoughts?
I think they want it to be A tier. I want it to be A tier.
I mean, sure.
But
that doesn't mean that's the truth.
Out of everything that one of the things that you said is the one that for me takes it out of an A tier and down to a B tier, and takes Corran Horn down from a possible S tier down to a B tier, which is the linked action. It is such a waste of a linked ability when you can take your target lock in the very first turn, but then you can't boost in and focus for the really just to close in and get that range one shot. But that's not even where it hurts them the most. Where it hurts them the most is actually in staying alive. That's what makes it so hard for them to stay alive compared to like other expensive ships, like the Defender and stuff like that, where those other ships can boost and still get some type of defensive ability. The Defender will get the native evade and then they boost. Or, you know, the silencers will be able to boost barrel roll, you know, and get a focus or focus boost or something like that, a double reposition. Yeah, that link to target lock is wasted. That link to target lock is meant for a ordnance carrier, not for a 3 agility ship.
Ryan or Will, anything additional there? Do we have?
Yeah, I agree. If it had focused linked actions, it would be an A tier. And I think the only way it could get to S tier is if it had natural double reposition. Without either one of those two, it's going to end up in B tier.
Here's a question. How many points do E-Wings need to be for us to be like, holy crap, they're S tier? Because there is a price, right? There is a price. Right now, let me go ahead and pull open my Yasby. This is just a thought I had right now.
I mean, the generics are real cheap. They're only 50 points. The I2s.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take four of them blank now?
You can.
Yeah, yeah, they're 50 points. I mean, probably run 3 in Jake, but because I love fire control system so much. Like, I'll give them that. Like, long range locks, fire control system, man, what an ability. But they're defensively not strong. They cost too much defensively.
Yeah, it's when, like, sure, you have theoretically the same stats as a defender. The problem is you don't have nowhere near the defensive capabilities as a defender either. And like previously mentioned, if you want to reposition, you're not getting a green token unless it's coming from another support ship at all. These guys, like E-Wings, were almost C tier for me. But I think just based on the ordnance and the fact that you can fit a couple of these with an ace that can care with, well, I mean, realistically with Luke or Wedge, right? And just push a serious alpha strike. Like you guys said, it's a list that can get you 4 and 2, but that's probably its max, right? Like bottom tier cut.
Yeah. And just to answer the points question, Kornhorn, their best pilot is at 66. Sunterfell, who is an S, is at 53. I know that, you know, you're giving up a lot, Sunterfell, but I would need to have Kornhorn at like 58 or, yeah, around 58 for me to really feel comfortable and use them on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and you got to think most Kornhorns to be as effective late game to balance out that bad action bar requires not only a support ship, but also for points investment, but also some points invested directly on him, whether it is a regen droid, afterburners, a sensor slot choice, stuff like that.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and leave that in the B tier. And I think looking at the poll, I know that 42% people put A tier, but I think that's wishful thinking out there. Now, here's one thing I will do for you guys, though. This Wednesday, I'll fly some E-Wings for League Night, okay? And I have a rebel challenge for the rest of my cohort here for my guys. We're gonna try some rebel stuff out this week for whoever's available. I got some plans. All right, let's go on. We have 5 ships left for the rebels. Go ahead and Will. Let's talk about the Azatuk. Wookiee to Wookiee. What's happening, man?
Oh man, the Azatuk. So. This is one of the ships I believe is just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth in first edition, so they refused to make it good. It still has this terrible dial, no K-turns, but it has the 180-degree arc, which is really useful. But what made them so good in first edition... things that like it was just upgrades that gave you free modifications on offense, right? And there's really nothing that you can just slap to this thing, except for maybe Saw Gerrera, that is just going to give this thing an attack modifier while it can fly around reinforcing. Especially compared to other beefier ships, even in Rebels, like the X-Wing or B-Wing, it's more expensive than an, and like I said, I just don't think that its crew slot really helps it. It could use almost anything else. As far as name pilots, the cheap ones are like super affordable. Like they're getting to that point of like, this thing's gonna get like as cheap as an X-Wing. But it realistically should cost more. Lorik is too expensive. He's in timeout still. It trades as reinforcing for an evade token for somebody else. That's fun, I guess.
Cute.
But it's... he's like second Biggs, right? If you don't like Biggs, you can fly Lorik if you want. Like, shoot at this thing or else my friends get help. A selfless Lorik, it's still very funny, but you're paying ace level points. That's 55 points for a support ship who can't modify his attack dice. So what are you even doing? I have a secret obsession with Wafaro. Wafaro is actually excellent. But he's too gimmicky, and he will eventually die because he ends up killing himself. Like, you just put Chopper and a targeting computer on him. You don't really need, or just the go-to saw as well. That's a way to get offensive modifiers and do it. But Wolfaro doesn't save the ship. It's going into C tier.
Yep. Thoughts? Nothing. All right. No arguments. Now, here's the question, Will. Is it bad enough to go into as far down as the TIE fighter? Like, if I had a dumpster on...
No.
Okay, so you think it's better than the...
No.
TIE fighter.
No, it's... No, I do think, like I said, the Kashyyyks are getting there. They're getting as low as they possibly can to compete with the other three-dice attack Rebel ships. But like I said, there's just not really a crew that helps them. I guess like Chopper is always fun and stuff like that, but which means they end up just flying around focusing and not utilizing what they actually spent even more points for, which is the white reinforce. So I think 180 degrees in reinforce, like that's gonna keep you out of the dumpster. Just on that alone.
All right. Cool. So we're going to go ahead and leave that one at the C tier. Our next ship, we're going on to Ryan, the ARC 170.
So the ARC 170 in Rebels, the superstar, quote, superstar of the chassis is Nora. Granted, probably still a little too expensive, but the ability of Nora has always been extremely good, and being on a larger base with access to barrel roll allows you to make as much use of it as possible, because you only need an enemy ship next to you at range 0 to 1, and you may add an evade result on any time you defend. So survivability with 9 total health on that is tremendous. But offensive firepower coming from her. I mean, yeah, it's 3-dice attack. It's most of the time single modded, so it's meh. But you're investing a little over a quarter of your list into her. She drops well, places well in 4-ship lists. But besides that, it's kind of like there's a real argument. If ARC Garvin is better than X-Wing Garvin, you lose the boost, you gain a larger base for his effect to reach, you have the little bit more guaranteed health, the rear arc for a higher chance to trigger his ability if he doesn't have the option to K-turn. Maybe in some cases ARC Garvin is better. But it's also meta-dependent, and right now, the larger your base, in most cases, the worse situation you're in. Ibitisam has never been used that I've ever seen, ever. And Charabay has some synergies right now, built up a little further with K2SO crew being available to Rebels, but nothing groundbreaking. It's more on the gimmicky side. Without any real success, I can't really put this thing higher than C.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say Nora by herself is probably A, but the rest of it, you can't argue with it. It's definitely C. Marcel, Will?
No,
I agree with that.
All right, cool. Marcel, the attack shuttle.
Oh wow, I got all the VCX things, huh? VCX attack shuttle. Let's get the bead. So this one's interesting. I like the abilities from the ship. I like the fact that it's got a 3 die out of the front, 3, and you can put a turret on there to get more arts. Hero's ability, initiative 5, being able to choose where you're moving at initiative 5, especially if you've got a turret, gives it a pretty good maneuverability, pretty good survivability. So it's not the worst. Sabine with Debris Gambit, being able to barrel, get, and evade without taking a stress, and then move and end up with like a focus evade or boost. Same thing, just whatever Sabine wants to do. She can do a boost as well. So she can boost, get an evade, move, barrel roll. That also makes her survivable. Zeb is survivable because of the ability he doesn't get critted. And finally, Ezra has the force, but he's way, 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 way too expensive at 40. But still, he's walking around with force and a defensive ability. So they stay around longer than they probably would be expected to. And they can put out some damage having 3 dice out of the front and a turret out of the side. So that's the only reason why they stay out of the dumpster and they stay in C for me. I can see a point for somebody trying to push them up to B, but then that point is quickly lost and they go back to C.
You know which one's the best? Sabine is the best in a... Sabine can be amazing in a Aces High where everybody has the same initiative. Super fun. Super effective. If you haven't played it, do it. But in the regular game, nah, fam. Not gonna happen.
I'll make the small argument that right. Marcel mentioned that it could be a B. And I'm not fully against it being a C, but the two pilots that stand out, obviously we've already talked about Spine, hasn't seen a ton of play, but can take small amount of upgrades to be effective, mainly Debris Gambit, and well, it used to be Composure, but that won't work anymore. But even just by herself, like she has a native supernatural reflexes type of ability at I3. If the meta had shifted to such a degree that low initiative was very common at 1 and 2, instead of being kind of a split that we have right now, she could definitely see more prevalence in a Rebel list that wanted a large piece in a 4-ship list, and you could drop some points into Sabine as one of those 4 or a 5-ship list. 3-dice gun's a 3-dice gun. And where that also plays into is Zeb. Zeb with Leia crew is 39 points. I'd argue 5x should just be 4x with Zeb and Leia crew. Still got the 3 attack dice, and now you have Leia. So, and now granted, AP5 is also 32 points and much more supportive. So it would depend on how much you value the additional attack dice over the coordinating. Both can still take Leia.
And double arcs.
Yes, double arc as well.
Yeah, but the double arc is also coordinate only 2. Oh, all right. So
I'm in the same boat as Ryan that It has so much potential to get up to like B tier, be like a standard ship. I think we have seen it, but it just underperforms, as I feel really the situation. Like, the 4 health is not great. Like, you have 4 health and 2 agility. And you always need investments. So, I agree. I wish it could be B tier, but I agree with C tier.
All right. So, next ship we have is the Y-Wing. Our very own Y-Wing. The namesake of Gold Squadron. We'll go ahead and put the poll up. I want the Y-Wing to be good. It is one of the few ships in the Rebels where you can get a turret for cheap with the lowest initiative one. But when I look at the board, this is pretty much how I thought it would lay out, where we have just a ton of stuff in A. I want to put it in B, and that's only because of Dutch. I think Dutch is the best out of them all, and in a Rebel synergy squad, which I think that word's going to come back here in a few minutes, it pulls it up to B. But really, the rest of the pilots are C tier, and maybe in some situations, maybe D tier. I'm going to call it B and just hope that the Y-Wing doesn't drop too far. But looking at the poll, most people are thinking B. What do we think, guys?
I'm in on B. I really like Dutch. I really like ion turrets. I like that you can put the veteran turret gun around. It's a little bit more expensive than it had been in the past, but still being able to double shoot. I have Nora for defense. Like, I think there's a lot of good options, a wealth of munitions options. So it's as overall, I think ends up in B tier.
Man, this feels so bad because like all the iconic Rebel ships are right there up in A tier. My wing's just trying so hard. For me, it feels even worse. I think the Y-Wing is C tier.
All right.
The generics see almost no play. Evan Verlaine's a pilot. I would like to see how many people actually know what the ability is. Horton, I've actually argued in the past, has some actual usage because there are a few ships that synergize with, like, if something range one, do this thing better, like Blount, more dice. Nora helps you with stuff because she wants to be range one. So there's some synergy across that board. You got Arvel, similar effect. But and Dutch, like, yeah, kind of, but like Dutch is 40 points base and he passes off only target locks, granted at a almost infinite range. It's similar to Sloan. It's that bouncing range 3 bubble. It's huge. I'd argue Dutches are better off taking just the ion cannon turret and not loading them up with torpedoes, because Dutch is better on the fringe than in the joust. Because Dutch commonly when I face Dutches, they just end up getting bumped and not doing anything. Nora, if you're taking Nora, probably should just be Arc Nora.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But I mean, if you have Dutch at 40 points, you're taking it cheap, like there's a solid argument, like why aren't you just taking AP5? Like, great, if you're looking for that support, it's more flexible with AP5 and cheaper because it's just a flat coordinate. It's an I1 where you shouldn't have to worry about bumping, and it's coordinate while they're stressed. So besides in hyperspace, where you don't have that, there are better support options out there. So I just, like, the damage output isn't there. The reasons to take them for support really isn't there. Nora's got kind of okay bombing runs, because, like, she'll run in, she won't die, and then she'll bomb you, and you'd be like, oh, no. That's kind of it.
And then she has to turn around and do it all over again.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you know what? I think you've convinced me to drop my vote to C. Marcel, do you, Marcel or Will, you guys have anything to pull it up to see? I see that the chat put B.
What?
William said B, I think, right, Will?
Yeah, no, I'm in on B. You're comparing it to a single coordinate. Dust modifies his own four dice attacks.
But you gotta double down for that torpedo. Ugh, you're right. Oh, I'm so conflicted.
Range one ion cannons. I just run them with ion cannon. I don't. And I do the same thing that I think Ryan said, is that you don't engage directly with Dutch. He doesn't have enough agility. So you just kind of skirt the outsides. His support band's ridiculous, like range three. So no, I think they're just fine. They used to see them all the time, but they've toned down.
Well, I'm just seeing what it's up there with. Is it as good as an E-wing? No. Is it as good as a K-wing with barrage rockets or something like that, or bombs? No. Is it as cheap as a Z-95? No. Is it as useful as a attack shuttle? Yeah, probably as good as some of the attack shuttles, not AP5. So ultimately, I'll put it down with the C. I agree with Ryan. It's just for the points, there's other things I would do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's probably that's interesting. Out of all the pilots, that's the one we're the most conflicted on. Between the chat, do we put it B and a half? Do we literally put it on the line?
I'm fine with that on the line.
We'll go on the line. I know normally I'm not a fan of half points, but but we'll go ahead and do that. All right. Now we've reached an interesting point here. We have gotten to the B-Wing. And I think that when people talk about, and I'll put a poll up in a second. When people talk about Rebels, I know for me, the first ship that comes to my mind is the B-Wing. So I'll open up the poll here in a second. I want each of us to talk about it a little bit. Where are you putting the B-Wing? Because the first two pilots that should come to your mind immediately is Braylon and Tenup, right? Like, they are the punching power of the B-Wings. I want to kind of see where the chat goes here. I'm really curious. But, Marcel, I want you to start. B-Wings, what are your thoughts?
Great. I have to throw them with an A. Definitely not an S. I know. I think the chat is hungry for, knowing that this is the last one coming up, they're hungry for a Rebel ship in the S. But I just don't think the Rebels have one. They don't have that superpower. But it's very, very solid A. And it's a very solid A because Braylon and Ten are the heavy hitters, but essentially every ship is flyable. Ten Num is flyable, Braylon's flyable, Gina's actually not bad. I mean, it's nice to have an Initiative 5 B-Wing. Her ability is not, you know, you don't see a lot of her, but, you know, basically she's worth... she's in there in points between Ten Num and Braylon, and both of those are better. So if you got 50 points, you're better off going with Ten Num, especially with Ten Num and the S foils or B foils, whatever they call those things. The Black Squadron veteran and the Blue Squadron veteran are probably Bs, but they're high B. So I would definitely just leave them as A. And I wouldn't even call Braylon an S or Ten Num an S. I really want it. I think they're high A's, and their less used ships are low A's, but they hover around A overall.
Okay, Will.
I want that S tier. I'm one of those people clamoring for one. I think previously with the chassis, the linked actions, the rebel synergies, before the title, A tier, I can agree 100%. I think the title has added them extra versatility to specialize into being able to shoot cannons well, double tap them, opening up the barrel roll target lock, which is arguably much better on a one agility ship, especially if it can take fire control system. That combined with being able to double tap, Braylon and Tin can modify both of those attacks with their abilities. Braylon rerolling, Tin using the he would have to use like FCS and then his stress or whatever, but he could still double modify two attack or modify an attack twice every round. I don't know how to explain it, but I think that puts them way above on attack power and versatility as a knife fighter. The like I said, so it really is Auto Blaster and the new title, I think, pushing them far above any other ship in Rebels right now.
All right, Brian.
It's tough for me. B-Wing's like one of my actual favorite ships. Even unbiased, like Braylon's really good. Ten with the title now is really good. Blue Squadron pilots, great generics. Blades, haven't really seen anything besides random selfless carriers. Gina, like, cool, you're I-5, but you're mostly single modded. And if you're taking Jake, you should just be taking Braylon or 10 anyway. We're not here for initiative. We're here for modded dice, which is those two pilots can take advantage of those S-foils much better if you invest the points into the cannons and whatnot. I'm personally not as big on the title of the cannons, but I've seen people have great usage of them. I just don't know if I could say for sure that like the B-Wing is that much better than what we talked about with the Falcon. There's a lot of great star pilots, but the meta, the what you're competing against, and like with it's tough because the Rebels are better as a whole list. Like once you do put the B-Wing in there with a a Braylon in there with a Cassian, with a Jan, with a Jake, you know, my crossroads list, like that all works great together. You put a bunch of A's, put a bunch of A's together, it feels like potential S tier list. But I don't think that the B-Wings are S tier themselves. I think they're a really high A tier next to the Falcons.
Yep. And right there, that you took the words right out of my mouth, Ryan. I also believe that it's an A tier. I do think it is probably in a vacuum as a whole one of the best ships that the Rebels have, which is why it's getting that A tier and why plenty of people are like, oh, but it feels S sometimes. Rebels as a whole, we talked about a little bit earlier, synergy, that word, that Rebel synergy. They are one of the best factions with taking, somebody said it, actually, I love how they said it. I think it was Dr. Weston. I'm going to just quote him right here. The trick of the Rebels is that more often than not, they are more than the sum of their parts, right? You bring in all these different chassis abilities together and they just work. Oh my God. The two B-Wings with Cassian and Jake out there, that's a terrifying squad. Double mods, you got Jake slinging focuses everywhere. Cassian's be like, hey, B-Wings, guess what? You can just K-turn whenever you feel like it. Guess, oh, little Leia this turn, where are we going to be? You have no idea. Like, it's fantastic. The problem with that list is as soon as you start losing pieces, the effectiveness rolls off a cliff. So, interesting that we get to the end of Rebels, no S tier. And I honestly feel this way as well. And once we get our points update, we're going to revisit this. I've been saving every single one of our charts, and they are all editable so that we can start moving things around. But right now, I think this is where we're at. Now, looking at everything that we see there, we have everything out there. Is there anything to us, gentlemen of the podcast, that just sticks out at me, like, I think we messed up. This needs to be fixed when you kind of look at how everything set out. I don't see anything that really sticks out to me personally, but feel free to argue with that. Chat, go ahead and scream for something if you want. I don't know if we're going to move anything, though.
No, I just think, like you guys said, when you look at Rebels versus when you look at you know, any other faction, is what the Rebels allow you to do is just mix and match as many A's and maybe one or two B's, but mostly A's, mix those around, where other lists that have the S tiers, the S tier is basically carrying the list, and you might have one or two support ships that are like a low A or a low B, or a B. And they just struggle. There's a couple lists out there that probably go beyond that, like the, you know, the Vader, the world's list. So there's certain lists out there that go beyond that, but for the most part, the Rebels have probably the most flexibility in terms of how they can mix and match their A's to give you the impression of an S, because they just play so well together. But you said it, once you lose a couple ships, they just don't have the same type of end game that the other ones do.
Agreed. All right, so that has been our rebellion. We'll come back to it for sure. But now we're going to run into list of the week. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. I know, like, rankings are super, super debated. Some people really don't like them. You're like, but my favorite ship. But Dion, how could you hurt me like that? Like, listen, it's not personal. It's not personal. You see the YouTube comments on some of these. There's some people getting pretty salty. It's great. All righty. So let's go ahead and jump into list of the week. We've got three of them. Ryan, Will, and Marcel are going to go ahead and take these. Now, all three of these I found super interesting in what was presented, because we have everything from like a new player to kind of a weird combination, and trying to take a list that has been being claimed to be decent, and it was kind of strange. I'm excited. So the first list is from Max the First Box is the call sign there. Let's go ahead and move over so that we can see the list. And it said, "Hey GSP, Dion, I'm 11 years old and I love beating my dad in X-Wing. We just started playing last Christmas and it's great. We listen to your podcast in the car when mom's not around, and I would like to submit my list for list of the week." Well, mom, thank you for letting your son and husband listen to the podcast, and shout out to this young man. Let's go ahead and break down this list. So the list is Hera with Intimidation, Advanced Sensors, Zeb, Saw Gerrera, Hull Upgrade, and the Ghost title. I think that's really just for theme. And then we have Han Solo in the YT-1300 with Kanan Jarrus crew, Shield Upgrade, and Hull Upgrade, sitting at 196 points. Ryan, you were going to do a little thing here, talk about the list a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we see the influence Marcel has on this young man's list building with Hera, obviously, with the Intimidation Advanced Sensors, Zeb, and Saw combo. Great combination, a lot of points invested, but really mean attack. Han Solo, as we talked about, is a great piece, but we can make some adjustments here to get this further along. So I think what's more valuable than 7 points invested on one shield and one hull into Han is getting rid of those and making that into R2-D2 crew. There's a high probability that you will be regenning definitely more than twice a game. And that will make up for those 3 extra points that you would have to spend to get that.
Easily.
Yeah, you're losing a little bit of a bid, but I think it is well worth it to maintain that regenerating effect. If you wanted to, you could drop the hull upgrade on Hera to either get that 3-point bid take the title on Han, which I don't find too necessary. You could also use that 3 points to put Dorsal Turret onto Hera to open up the arc. You do only have 2 ships on the board. More arc coverage is helpful so that Hera in that points investment isn't always stuck just trying to get that forward arc working.
All right, so we end up with Hera, Intimidation, Advanced Sensors, Dorsal Turret, Zeb Aurelius, Saw Gerrera, and Ghosts for flavor. Then Han Solo with Kanan Jarrus and R2-D2 crew. Max, hopefully you have some fun with this. Let us know. I know you're on our Discord. Go ahead, let us know how it goes after you play your pops with this list. All right, Will's going to be taking on the next one, and it comes from Reese Hates Beans. These fantastic, these absolutely fantastic names. All right, so Reese Hates Beans says, I really enjoy playing with the defender as well as the striker, but I haven't seen a lot of competitive play from the defender. Do you think this could be viable? I would like to take it to my next small store championship, tournament, excuse me, as they just started holding them again. So we have Major Vinder in the Alpha class with Fire Control, Advanced Proton Torpedo, Advanced Slam, the OS-1 Arsenal loadout, that's the torpedo slash missile one, and Proton Torpedoes. Then Rex LeBrath in the Defender with Juke, and then Duchess with Elusive sitting at 198 points. Will, what are we doing here?
All right, so I do like the idea of if you're going to fly any defender or striker, I do like Rexler and Duchess for I-5. Their abilities are useful. But who I don't like without support is Major Vinder. So we're just going to drop him completely. You need some sort of Pulp Gendon combination to get him to really hit those high efficiencies. So now we're left with these two and 67 points. 67 points is, by the way, a Vader. You can trade these upgrades, Juke and Elusive, for some upgrades on him. You could also fit in a generic defender, also 67 points. So you can slot in some of these heavyweight aces in there. The Delta is a little more of a blocker, but still very defensive. But this doesn't showcase the striker. They're kind of just the hit and run, doesn't really do a lot. So I'm taking a page out of Francois's playbook. He took something similar to Worlds, and he put in Duchess, he put with Duchess. Lieutenant Psy in the shuttle to Lambda class. Of course, you got to bring the title if you're bringing Psy, who can give an action and then take a target lock off of that ship, measuring its range. So you can coordinate Rexler at focus before it goes to takes a boost or a target lock. And do the same thing for Duchess, give her a focus before she moves and takes an evade or barrier roll. Leaves you with a lot of points. I'm going to take Elusive off of Duchess and go for a different style of defense modifier, Fifth Brother. I remember that he was running proxy mines on his Duchess as well. I think the bomb slot is one of the most valuable tools that the striker can have. It is made for hit and run tactics. Give your enemy something to think about as you leave. He ran it with afterburners on Duchess as well, which is so fast. Oh man, if you want to go fast, you could trade out that Juke for afterburners. But just to make sure that Rexler can continue to do things in the end game, I'm just going to put a fire control system on him as well. He actually kind of wants to shoot first anyways. Because he wants to against other I-5s. So I think I would finish off with just a fire control system. Unless you really wanted to try out those really fast afterburners, Duchess.
All right, so we end up with Rex LeBrath with Juke Fire Control System, Duchess with Fifth Brother and Proximity Mine, and Lieutenant Psy with ST321. Our last list today comes from Lieutenant Sorensen, and Marcel's going to be taking a look at it. The prompt says, a similar list like this took 9th in a local store event. I wanted to fly something different that worked well. I wanted to fly something different that I feel will work better. So taking a six, mind you, we don't know how big the store event was, right? Say 9th. We don't know what that really means relatively, but something that apparently Heath said was at least decent, good, and he's trying to make it a little bit better. We have not one, not two, but three of the Stahlgassen Hive Guards. That's the Initiative 3 Nantext with Gravitic Deflection. For those of you who don't know what Gravitic Deflection is, that says while you defend, you may reroll one defense dice for each tractored ship in the attack arc. And then Count Dooku and the Sith Infiltrator with Heightened Perception, Tractor Beam, General Grievous, Seismic Charges, the Scimitar Title, and Hull Upgrade, sitting at 199 points.
I hate you guys. And William, stop laughing. Okay.
So here, would you like a little help first? I could ask a question that I think will help lead us in the direction that we need to go.
Sure. And I think I know. I mean, what he's going for is he's trying to get himself tractored so that he's dropping the 2 agility from 3 agility to 2 agility on the Nantex. He's flying them in somewhat of a formation so he can get double rerolls out of all of them. So essentially has the equivalent of potentially 4 green dice to try to guarantee 2 results. So I get where it's going. And I don't know what the, like you said, I don't know what the initial list was. 'Cause he says he's modeling after the list. And he wants to see, obviously that list had some type of synergy or worked a certain type of way that he's trying to play off of that. In this particular list, Count Dooku is your heaviest hitter, and you're using Count Dooku as a potential tractor. So then you have 3 2 agility shots. Potentially you might get a bullseye out of one of them. And even if you're shooting at, even if you get the 2 evades every single time, lists out there with 3 attack, they're just going to keep putting damage on these things with no shields. Count Dooku has a great ability, but Count Dooku will struggle, especially at 82 points, to stay alive and shoot. I just don't see a lot of saving grace with the Nantex, and being that it's a hyperspace. I mean, that's what I was looking at when I was trying to
figure
out.
Like, oof.
So it's a hyperspace list. It's not an extended list. If it was a hyperspace list, you can do more with it. I mean, if it was an extended list, you can do more with it. But honestly, I'm going to break all the rules and say if you want to do, tractor something and kill it and have the ships be able to survive longer, is drop those Nantex and replace them with 5 or 6 drones. And the ability that you'll get from those drones, you may not get the reroll defensive ability, but what you will get, 3 of them with the auto include missile discords. And then that should, and then obviously configuration on all of them, and not that one, the evade one, just to keep them alive longer. Again, he's going for defensive rerolls and keep these things alive longer, so you'll keep them alive longer this way. And that's basically what you were going with: tractor something and then hit them hard. So this way you're tractoring something. If you're going to be shooting with 2 dice anyway, shoot with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 2 die gun. The K284 will give you the additional defensive mod, as well as the fact that they can borrow each other's tokens, and if they're shooting one, they get access to defensive modifications throughout multiple shots, not just that one shot. So that's better. And it still does what you want it to do. And those Discords will still take care of the big bad meanie that's that in hyperspace known as Boba Fett. Now I'm going to break the rules even further.
What are you doing?
Because he said, I want to do what he did, but I want to do it. I want to do it better. So if you want to do what he did and you want to do it better, you're flying the wrong faction. You need to jump over to Scum.
What? This is unprecedented. We're jumping factions.
He said he wants to do that, but better. So we're going to start off with Sarasu. And Sarasu will be your Count Dooku. And throw a tractor beam on there. So he's going to give everybody those rerolls, those defensive rerolls, without sacrificing agility. And he's going to serve as your tractor machine. Then you're going to get an additional tractor M3A. So just hit copy so you can get another tractor. And then hit copy once more and change it to an ion. It's going to look a lot like Octocon's list, I know. So throw a couple ions in there. Not missiles, ion cannons.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. And just close it out with a Fang Fighter and a naked M3A. And I know this looks a lot like Octocon's list, but you're getting your defensive rerolls, you're getting your tractor beams, you're getting all your guns, and you're getting six guns on target. And you're going to live longer, you're going to kill more things, you're going to win more. And instead of going, you know, 9 in a 12-person tournament, you'll go 1 in a 100-and-something-person tournament. I don't know. I mean, did I break too many rules here? But what he wants to do is he wants to track their stuff, kill it, and be defensive while he does it.
Right. It's all right. I think that was fun. That was a fun exercise this week. We had a lot. They were all kind of weird lists. So, thank you everybody who submitted that. Now I did say that instead of the last couple weeks we've been using the mind, like we had talked about. We'll use the list of the week for Mind Games. But just because of my current class schedule, I unfortunately cannot afford the time to stay on extra to do Mind Games right now. We'll get back to it. I promise we will. And we're going to get the stuff up on YouTube. But wanted to focus on the CSC first. But anyway, thank you everybody for watching. Hopefully you enjoyed that. This Wednesday, make sure to tune in starting at 6 p.m. for League Night. Me and the boys, we're going to be looking at that Rebels. We're going to be taking a look at this. And the challenge I want to put out there for us, my friends, is we're going to build Rebel lists with B, C, or D tier lists with D, B, C, or D ships only. No A tier. Completely locking us out of the A tier and seeing what magic we can find in the B, C, or the dumpster. Thanks for watching, everybody. Remember, we're going to be the donations for CAC still going on until the 26th. Use !donate or the link in the description down below. Thank you to everybody who donated. Again, we raised over $30,000 as the X-Wing community. It's absolutely amazing. And anybody who donates from today up to the 26th is going to be getting a $10 off coupon in their email from me on the 26th, which will be Friday. Just as a thank you for going that little extra mile, if I can motivate you that way. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. See you Wednesday. Gold Squadron